Welcome to the Hopeful Activist podcast from the Praxis Centre. Hi Rich, how are you?
I'm good, yeah. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Yeah, have you had a good week?
It's been a really busy one travelling with work, but as I was coming back north on the train, I was like, oh.
Back home.
Yes. Originally a southerner, but home is definitely the north now.
Yeah, excellent. Very good.
So who did you interview this week, Abby?
I interviewed Natalie Collins. And we are all about activism at Praxis. And Natalie Collins is pretty much the definition of an activist. She was really cool to interview. I totally bored all my friends and family. Like, I interviewed this amazing woman this week.
She reminds me a bit of an Old Testament prophet. Do you get that?
Yeah, totally. Just bold and unafraid to challenge the church.
Right, exactly. Like, challenge the world, challenge God's people. I mean, that's what the prophets were about. And she feels like she's in that vein.
That's right. That's pretty much where the interview starts, actually. Let's listen to it now.
I think actually there is a place for activism within Christianity to Christians to say, actually, this stuff is injustice. 6 years ago, a woman called Helen Austin and I counted how many men and women were on the National Christian Platform. It was her idea and I did the counting. And then we found that it was about 25% women and 75% men. And that's not very good. So basically decided to count the stats every year and had a sort of gathering of a few people who were interested. And we decided we'd set up this thing called Project 328, which is from Galatians 3:28, neither slave nor free, Jew nor Gentile, male or female, because we're one in Christ. And the idea was literally just to count how many men and women were on the platform every year. And what we've seen is we've seen an increase to now we're at 39% women. And so the activism in that context has very much been about literally just counting programmes. It's not a very sexy job. Like, it's not getting up and doing anything. It's literally just counting all the different programmes and then releasing those stats as a report. And just doing that every year has meant that the events that are pro-women in theory, who theologically believe in women, actually have been then held accountable to becoming more egalitarian in practice, have become more pro-women in practice. And so the first year we did it, you have Soul Survivor, who are theologically pro-women, and New Day, who are theologically not pro-women. And in 6 years ago, they had the same amount of women speaking. So I think it really jolted a lot of people. Like, people knew that it wasn't great, but I think when we see one woman on the platform, we go, oh, they're pro-women, even if there's only one woman and 10 men. And so, so since then we've seen this increase. And then last year we got some funding together to develop a database for women who can speak at Christian events to try and improve the representation of women at Christian events. And that's speaker328.info. And people can, women who are gifted in speaking and they're Christian, and they don't have to be Christian speakers. They might be a gifted speaker and be a midwife or an engineer or a whatever. So we want kind of for them to be able to come and actually to hopefully also diversify the sort of topics that Christian events talk about too, by realizing, oh, we could get somebody in who's a specialist in some crazy thing, or, you know, a neurophysicist or whatever. So yeah, so for me, activism in that sense, the sort of formal activism, has been about doing this kind of creating ways of challenging people and seeking to affect change. But I think more generally, every conversation I have is if somebody says something sexist, somebody says something gender stereotyping in everyday conversation, I'm like, oh, maybe there's another way of looking at that, which makes me either really fun or really not fun, depending on where you sit in that conversation.
But you describe yourself as cynical. Praxis is all about sort of hope and activism.
Yeah.
I'm quite interested how you tie in that sort of, obviously you're doing things because you believe that things will change.
Mm. So I guess cynical sounds like a bad thing. I think it's a way of seeing the world that is about, there's something prophetic in being somebody who looks at things and goes, I'm just not going to take these on face value. I want to know what's actually going on. What are people really doing? So I think for me, activism has to be about hope, because we wouldn't take action, we wouldn't be doing this stuff if we didn't believe that there was the possibility of change. But I think in terms of being able to function when you see things, so, you know, when I look around and go, well, this is really depressing, there's all this sexism, there's all this objectification of women, there's inequality, that even where there is more hope for women on one hand, you've got like, oh, women can be, you know, can attempt to be president, but then when they do it becomes terrible and looking gets in and it's really miserable. And so I think there is a real depressing aspect to it, but I suppose for me, I see my role as planting seeds, that God's called me to plant seeds, and that I just have to do that. And I think as activists, we can't always be around for the fruit. We're not always going to see what's going to grow. Maybe what grows isn't what we kind of wanted to plant. We wanted to plant an orange tree, but we planted the seeds and what we got was a fig bush, or I don't even know enough about plants.
Pomegranate.
Yeah, that's it, something. It's pomegranates. I'm sure they're really biblical. So like, that's it. But yeah, so I think it's about, you know, for me, I believe absolutely that there is hope and that there is the potential for transformation. But actually, if we only act where we're seeing transformation, we're potentially going to give up very quickly, because hope is much more long term than maybe what I'll see in my lifetime or what I'll see while I'm involved in a project. It's a case of saying, actually, I'm going to act for change and trust that God's got the rest of it.
And I think you're quite unusual in the sense that you are quite a provocative within the Christian world. Do you ever come under criticism for your...
Yeah. I'm
glad you laughed at that.
No, I don't. I think the thing is that if you're going to be an activist of any sort doing anything, you have to develop a thick skin. So we have to have a soft heart, but a thick skin. And you know, for me, I see myself as being called to be a warrior for women, to go to battle for women. And sometimes women will contact me and be like, have you seen this event? It's got no women. And I'll go to battle and I will contact that event and tweet them and be like, why haven't you got any women? And they might think, and I don't mind being the awkward person who asks those challenging questions. And yeah, absolutely, like, people can criticise me and tell me that I'm wrong. But actually, I was speaking to somebody and they were talking to somebody who was organising a Christian event, and they went, we need to get enough women, because have you heard of Natalie Collins? And they were like, yeah, why? And they said, because if we don't, then Natalie Collins is going to go mad. And she's going to tweet us and be cross. And so I don't mind. I don't mind being like the, you know, the stick that, you know, we need some people who are the carrots. And I think it's about working out what you are called to be in this. Like, actually, I don't think every person who's for equality is supposed to be me, because that would be a terrible world to live in. We don't need too many of me. But it actually, there's different roles to play. There are women who've been working for decades in senior church leadership, in senior national leadership, who've opened doors, and that's been their role. And their role has been to be very nice and gentle and tiptoe around and to do things that I could never do, because I just can't compromise at all. And so I think it is that thing of that actually we all have a part to play and we're all different parts in this role. But yeah, for me, I do think lots of people don't like me very much and don't, you know, would rather I just shut up. But actually, my job is to keep doing that. And actually, to some degree, if I'm annoying people, I'm probably doing it well.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. I was interested when we initially spoke, you talked about 328, and it was literally just, I'm going to just get some figures.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think it's been really, really interesting to see how powerful statistics are and how powerful research is. And I use it, I do lots of work around addressing male violence. So when I'm not telling the church how wrong they are, I'm out telling the world how wrong it is. And do lots of stuff around addressing male violence, domestic abuse, pornography, all different sorts of stuff. And I use statistics all the time, because what statistics are is they are a mirror showing what is going on. And we see things as they really are with good data. And so I just would like to hug and kiss all the people who do really good research. And often these researchers, they never know the impact of what they're doing. And so, yeah, with Project 328, it's just been a case of counting these programs, counting the speakers, releasing those stats. And for events who are pro-women, this has not been intentional. They're not like, oh, let's only have one woman. It's just that that's not noticed. It's not a priority. Interesting, one event, the first year we did the stats, they had like 11% women. And the next year they had 40% women. And then the next week they went right down again to like 20% or something. And what had happened clearly was they were like, oh, we are sexist. We need to stop being sexist. I've done loads of work. And then the next year gone, oh, we did the woman thing now. Right, we can move on. But actually, the reality is that it's got to be consistent. And that's why we can't just do this like one year and go, oh, that's it. Because every year an event needs to know they're going to count us on this. And if we believe that women and men should be presenting the truth of the gospel, and that actually without both men and women, we don't see the fullness of who God made us to be, then we have to take this seriously. And so a lot of the events now, they have spreadsheets where they're like able to see how many men and women they've got. They're counting, they're being aware that this, they're making a conscious decision. And so the statistics have really functioned as a bit of a mirror and as a way of enabling people to wake up to it. So I think often people think activism and they think protest placards, and absolutely, and I've done that at Hillsong and you know, various other places, you know, in a premiere of a film and that kind of stuff. But actually sometimes it's just the hard, boring work of going 1, 2, 3 and then putting it into a spreadsheet and turning it into a report. So I think it's about working out what is going to affect change in that situation.
And you are quite I don't know what the right word is, spiky, I suppose, to the Christian world. If you could talk to somebody now who has a similar frustration, what would you say to them?
I would say that anybody who feels called to challenge the church, that the most important thing to do is build your relationship with God. Have dedicated time with God, spiritual practices, I spend a day a month with God, a weekend a year, I spend time with God. Because if you are going to be challenging the status quo, you have to be sure that you are listening to God and that you can hear God above all else. Because actually the church is supposed to be the compass for Christians. It's supposed to be the place that helps us to learn how to follow God. And if you feel you're called to be a person who is saying, I don't think you're doing this as well as you could be doing, then actually the most important thing to do is to find ways to become more and more obedient to God, to be able to hear from God, to be and then to find your people. I think that if we are called to challenge the church, not all the church is going to feel like our people, and they are. That we, whatever somebody thinks about women in leadership, I would stand and have communion with them. And in that, we are united. And, you know, in lots of ways, we're doing better than the current Brexit conversation. You know, if you look at the rest of the world, it makes me, slightly encourages me that everybody's disunited. It's not just the Christians. And at least we still, like, kind of love each other and can sit in the same room. So there is something, there is stuff to be encouraged by. But absolutely, you know, we need to go deeper and deeper into God. There's a passage in Jeremiah that's also somewhere in the New Testament, and I think somewhere in Psalms, that says we need to be like a tree planted by the riverside, and our roots need to go so far down into the riverbed that in the drought we're never thirsty. And I think that's if we are called to activism, then our roots have to go so far down into God, because we are going to upset people. And it's really important that our identity and who we are is so rooted in God that actually we're not totally broken by the fact people don't like us. That is the priority. And then finding people who allies and supporters who cheer us on when actually everyone else is going, would you shut up and be quiet?
Natalie, thank you so much. And just tell us quickly where we can find out more.
Yeah, my website is nataliecollins.info if people want to find out more, and they can find me on Twitter as God Loves Women, and it's got underscores in the spaces.
So cool. I just love that she doesn't mind being that awkward person in the room. That takes a special person to be prepared to,
yeah, to challenge something, but just be like, I'm gonna point this out.
Yeah, absolutely. it's very un-British.
Yeah,
I love that.
It's kind of unconscious bias, isn't it, that she's putting her finger on, saying that you say you believe this, but look what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you seen that video about the privilege where you step forward if you've got certain privileges.
The privilege walk, yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, we've done an exercise similar to that on the Praxis course, and it's really insightful to recognise your own privilege. And I think we've all been in situations where it's kind of hit us in the face, but most of the time we're not thinking about the privilege that we're walking around with, and it's something we need to recognise. And what's as someone, as a lady that occasionally does a preach?
A lady.
A lady, a woman. What's the appropriate term?
It's fine. Either's fine. I just always think lady sounds quite funny. Go to the ladies. It's like, I feel like I should be in a bustle. And
So as a woman that occasionally does a preach, I mean, what struck you from that interview? What resonated for you?
I guess I find it frustrating that we have to point it out to people. But I love that she's turned that frustration into something positive that's actually made a difference. And it's no use just being annoyed. It's great that now events are actually saying, yeah, this is important. Because, you know, it's not that I think that women are better speakers than men or men are better speakers than women, but women have a different lived experience. And there's half the congregation of church at least is women. And so to actually give a breadth of people's lived experience, it's good to have people coming from different backgrounds.
Right. Yeah. I was reflecting in that, actually, of the talks that really have sat with me that I can remember now, quite a high proportion have been women, even though so few women are given the platform.
What can I say? How do I respond to that? Yeah. And she's also really open. We had quite a long chat afterwards in the car, and we talked quite a lot about sex. And when I preached last, I talked about periods. And, you know, these are things that men are not going to feel comfortable to approach, and that's fine. But it's just really good that we can talk about those things openly in church. You need people who've got an experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The music. Should we say that?
Yeah, tell us about the music, Rich.
Dr. J is the artist. Surrender is the album. You can find Dr. J on Bandcamp, SoundCloud and Spotify.
In the meantime, check out our social media. That's Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. And we look forward to being back next week with another amazing activist at the Hopeful Activists podcast.